Hello, world. I'm Greg Batten. Stand by for news. Well, it was good to be back at the home church last night for Wednesday night Bible study and prayer. We took off on Matthew, the verse used by the fall fundraiser in WHCB. Except the Lord build the house. Then we had prayer time. My goodness, everybody was praying and talking about illnesses and diseases and family members and friends and people without work and so on and so forth. It is so distressing. We'll talk about this at the end of the program. But my friend, this is a time you can really lean on God and you can get especially close to God at times like this. Oh, when you're on the mountaintop, everything's fine. You don't need to pray. You don't need to go to God. It's when your world is falling apart, you really need him. And oftentimes God absolutely allows that to occur to get your attention, my friend. Don't you want to be close to God today? Pray about that thing, and enter into the lives of others at a time like this. I mean, identify with things going on in their world. Let me ask, is it good for you today? Tomorrow you might change places. Just a little something to think about. Well, Christmas is 100 days away. How many days to the election? As the presidential race moves into its final 7 weeks, former Vice President Joe Biden, holding a lead that remains steady, but well, not conclusive, he and the president face contrasting challenges. According to new data from University of Southern California, Biden has largely succeeded, they say, in uniting fellow Democrats, but as he tries to build that broad coalition that would include a significant number of independents and some moderate Republicans, a step that could lock down many key states, he faces a lot of resistance on ideology. Independents and voters who lean Republican? Groups that make up a large share of the remaining swing voters judge Biden to be a considerably more liberal person than themselves, according to that poll. Meanwhile, Trump faces a different challenge. Not only is he behind, but a slice of his potential supporters are kind of iffy about voting. Whoa, especially Christians. Only 25% of Christians vote. Really? At the same time, the main issue that he has pushed in recent weeks, law and order, well, it appears to have strong support, but mostly from people who already strongly support him. Registered voters who solidly back Trump and those who solidly back Biden report a similar likelihood of voting, about 95% on average. The president's problem comes with those who say they only lean toward voting for him. They average a 75% likelihood. With Trump closing the gap, they say he has a real reality check here. A large share of the electorate has tuned him out. Nearly 6 in 10 voters have an unfavorable view of the president. About half say their view is extremely unfavorable toward the president. Wait a minute. Who did this poll again? So, what do you think about these polls and the president's chances? Some Attorney General William Barr, he went on the attack against Democrats this week. Well, on a range of issues, including rumors that the president would attempt to stay in office if he loses the presidential general election in November. You know liberals project, said a salty Barr. You know the president is going to stay in office and seize power and all that blank. I've never heard of the so much blank. I mean, I'm the attorney general. Don't you think I've heard about it? Though the focus of the interviews, crime and corruption in the United States, particularly in Chicago, Barr also used this opportunity to address several issues that have dominated the news. There undoubtedly are many people in the government who surreptitiously work to thwart the administration, the attorney general said. And he said something many of us believe. The United States is nearing a rule-by-the-mob approach to government in America. Increasingly, the message from the Democrats appears to be Biden or no peace. Where's my gun? And the big key, according to Barr, is the Democrats purposely sowing doubt in the minds of Americans as to the validity of the election results, a strategy that congressional Democrats have accused the president of attempting. They're creating an incendiary situation here where there will be a loss of confidence in the vote. It'll be a close vote, and people will say, well, the president just won Nevada. Oh, wait a minute here. We just discovered 100,000 ballots. Every vote will be counted. Yeah, but we don't know where these freaking votes are coming from, said the attorney general. Oh, it's getting hot. Okay, who's the morons here? A group of anti-maskers, many in MAGA apparel. invaded a Target in Florida this week, demanding that shoppers remove their mask while yelling, "We're not gonna take it anymore." That video's all over the place. The group blasted the Twisted Sisters song, "We're not gonna take it anymore," to drive home their point. Meanwhile, band member Dee Snider scolded the anti-maskers on Twitter and used all kinds of profanity. "You do not have my permission or my blessing to use my song. No, you don't. For your moronic cause." Let me ask again, who's the moron here? Speaking of morons, it happened in El Paso, Texas. The diocese there shared pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a 90-year-old statue that was destroyed Tuesday. The incident occurred at St. Patrick's Cathedral around 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday while the church was open for prayer. We're saddened to announce the vandalism at St. Patrick's Cathedral earlier today. Pictures show the head of Jesus decapitated on the church altar. It's come to America. Mob rule, you betcha. And this one is so sad. Picture of a cop on my Facebook page. "Say my name. I was shot in the head, killed on my 47th birthday while responding to shots fired in a domestic dispute. I was murdered by Carl Lee Ellis Blunt, a black male on probation with outstanding warrants, whose lengthy criminal history included assault toward both his girlfriend and a policeman. I didn't have the opportunity to defend myself in any way. My killer approached me as I sat in my squad car, lights on, engine running, and he pulled the trigger. I was left to die and was later found slumped over the steering wheel. I was a veteran, a survivor of Desert Storm. I did not, however, survive serving those in my own community. I was senselessly taken from my four daughters and my fiancé. My name is Jeffrey Westerfield, and my life mattered." So we've been talking about Mueller's team and the complete erasure of 30 cell phones. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham announced Wednesday that former FBI Director James Comey has agreed to testify on his own volition before the panel regarding the Crossfire Hurricane, the counterintelligence investigation, and whether President Trump's campaign coordinated with Russia in the 2016-11. Graham told Hannity that Comey will appear September the 30th without necessitating a subpoena for him. "The day of reckoning is upon us when it comes to Crossfire Hurricane," he said. "I appreciate Mr. Comey coming before the committee, and he will be respected and treated, but ask some very hard questions. We are negotiating with former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, and we're hoping to get him without a subpoena. I'll say it again. Things are getting hot." Oh, and Graham expressed dismay that the former special counsel behind the Russia investigation's published report, that would be ex-FBI Chief Robert Mueller, refused to appear on his own accord. He declined the invitation. I bet he did. He says, he doesn't have enough time. So why am I finding this one so hard to believe? 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. And you know what? Nearly two-thirds of the young American adults in this country, it's brand new to them. More than 1 in 10 believe Jews caused the Holocaust, according to a study of millennial and Gen Z adults ages 18 to 39. Some 48% could not name a single concentration camp or ghetto established during World War II, and nearly a quarter of them said they believed the Holocaust was just a myth or had been exaggerated or just wasn't true. 1 in 8, 12%, said they definitely had never heard about a thing called the Holocaust. The results, my friends, should be shocking and saddening and underscores why we must act now while Holocaust survivors are still with us to voice their stories. So much of this stuff should be a wake-up call to all of us, and a roadmap to where government officials need to go. Oh, my goodness. More news right after this important message. So has it ever happened to you? Maybe you remember a time when God was pointing to an area of your life and saying, "I want you to deal with this. You need to change this attitude and develop a new Christ-centered habit." You argued a bit, trying to justify your behavior, you could not give a sufficient reason to change. You were not hurting anyone else or hindering their beliefs, and gradually you convinced yourself not to listen and use arguments like, God really isn't speaking to me about that. I just have an overactive conscience. My pastor's just too opinionated. Others are misinterpreting this portion of Scripture. Yeah. If this describes your spiritual experience, my friend, be encouraged that Jesus calls you to obedience just like he called Peter. And right now, you need to stop running and let him take total control of your life. You will experience his revival, his renewal in your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So start right biblical thinking. Well, Grace Community Church and their pastor, John MacArthur, fired back a response to California officials who are threatening him with jail time for holding in-person services in his church. His words? Bring it on. MacArthur appeared on Fox News with host Laura Ingraham to discuss his ongoing battle with Los Angeles County officials there. The pastor has rebelled against coronavirus-related health directives and wrangled in court with the county since July. I personally think that's a proper response. We received a letter with a threat that we could be fined or I could go to jail for up to 6 months. Of course, my biblical hero, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Apostle Paul. And when he went into a town, he didn't ask what the hotel was like. He asked what the jail was like, because he knew that's where he was going to spend his time. So I don't mind being a little apostolic if they want to just tuck me away in jail. I'm open for a jail ministry. I've done a lot of other ministries and haven't had the opportunity to do this one, so go ahead, bring it on. What do you think about MacArthur's response? So far, he's received a cease and desist letter in August for holding in-person services, banned under Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom's pandemic lockdown. The letter threatened the church with $1,000 daily fines and MacArthur with jail if the church did not comply. Coming to a church near you? So we've talked about a number of things in the past relative to this being the greatest threat to America. What is the greatest threat to America? There is a thriller novelist out there that's put together a new book called Total Power, did a lot of research, and he says, I stumbled upon what I now believe to be America's greatest weakness. You know what it is? Some of you do. Our electrical grid. It's been called the most complex machine in the entire world, and that's probably a fair description. 3,300 utility companies, 55,000 individual substations, and 200,000 miles of transmission lines all coordinated to meet the country's insatiable appetite for power. Unfortunately, it's this scope and complexity that makes us so vulnerable in this country. And this isn't just a theoretical threat. In 2013, a meticulously planned attack was carried out on a substation near San Jose. It caused $15 million in damage and looked very much like a dry run for something much bigger. None of the perpetrators ever caught, and they have to be indeed plotting something more ambitious, beyond imagination, in the days ahead. Now that's something to pray about. Well, a Democrat-controlled House committee spent 18 months, year and a half, investigating the two fatal crashes of Boeing's 737 MAX planes and came to one conclusion. They didn't have to happen. The committee slammed a Boeing for a culture that didn't prioritize safety, its regulators, the Federal Aviation Administration, for punting on its responsibility to keep an eye on this company. The fact that a compliant airplane suffered two deadly crashes in less than 5 months is clear evidence that the current regulatory system is fundamentally flawed. Democrats called for a total overhaul of the FAA. The 737 MAX, Boeing's best-selling plane ever, has been grounded since two crashes killed 346 people in 5 months. Boeing and the FAA have been working to get the plane back in the air again, but the ordeal has undermined both of their reputations. Well, President Trump's Labor Department is formulating new proposals to reverse the Obama-era trend of advisory firms that oversee pension funds, basing investment decisions on promoting liberal political and social issues instead of increasing the value of investments for retirees, many of you. In short, the government would no longer allow people to oversee 401ks and pension funds backed by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act to steer that money to their personal political agendas while putting retirees in danger of running out of money to live on. The left had for many years salivated over the idea of getting their claws into pension funds and using them for their personal little piggy banks, but this would reestablish that the point of a pension fund is to provide a comfortable retirement, not to advance some third party's political agenda. Amen, amen, amen. You know, here's a part of the new America. We are reminded of all the things that could have been accomplished for the United States of America if the Democrats had simply accepted Donald Trump's win in 2016 and worked with the president as he wanted them to do, instead of going absolutely insane with rage and hatred and spending every waking moment trying to unseat, undermine, and slander him. Trump was willing to make deals with them on an array of issues they claimed they wanted, for rebuilding the United States infrastructure to legalizing the Dreamers, but they always said no. They said no to everything because working with Donald Trump might legitimize him, something that already happened when he won the election in 2016. Think about it. One of those sad things. This restaurant's closed, that one's closed, they're open for 4 hours here. I mean, restaurants, hotel, a large number of U.S. hotels that temporarily closed their doors as bookings dried up in spring due to the pandemic. And here we are, fall approaching. It looks like a significant number of them might not be able to reopen as expected, maybe never, even if business picks back up to a healthy level. Although big banks and other lenders often allowed some flexibility for strapped hotels to make their mortgage payments during the pandemic, their patience is running low, and foreclosures looming for some major urban properties. New York City, well, so many areas of the country. Hundreds of thousands of restaurants will never open again. Here in Fort Wayne, saw a blip last night about those that are overdue on their payments for rent and mortgage, and they're coming after them. Thousands of people here in Allen County. Get out or pay, one or the other. It's part of the new America. So very sad and so unnecessary. Who said that? One of you on Facebook. Kohl's has confirmed they're going to be selling BLM merchandise. They will not sell Back the Blue. I will no longer be a customer. Should this go national? Georgia just made it a hate crime to harass police officers and other emergency responders. Oh, yeah. There she is, a picture of Ashley Blaine. She's only 19 years old, and she is a Chinook helicopter pilot, and she's fighting wildfires in California. A much bigger hero than any one of those bozos in the NFL, NBA. Well, you get it. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Wow, pretty exciting to get your response to the Monday program, Unshackled, from WHCB 91.5. You can go to our Facebook page. You only got part of it. You missed the whole thing. Well, go to gregpatton.com, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N, right there on the front page. Click the link, and you can listen to any program, not only Monday, but last year on a Monday, and so on. You get the idea. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for just showing such an interest. Greg Patton Ministries out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, brings you Hello World Monday through Saturday on many of these stations. Thank you. And for your support, oh, great people out there. Another big thank you to Larry and Dawn and Thomas Sullins up there in Abingdon, Virginia. They were kind of our host throughout our time down in Tri-Cities, Tennessee. Great time. Thank you. What a great family. Appreciate it very much. Want to be a part? GregPatton.com. You too can join in. Thank you again. My Christian friend, I want to encourage you today to never, never, never give up, regardless of where you are, what's going on, all the factors where Satan or his demons will whisper in your ear, quit it now. Have you ever felt like it? I mean, calling it quits, giving up, tossing in the towel, as they say. If you have, you're not alone. We've all been there, done that. Don't you do it. Each of us can probably recall at least one time where those frustrations of life's circumstances just pushed us to a point of despair, right? You know it's true. The prophet Elijah could write a dissertation on dealing with difficult times. One moment he's on Mount Carmel, victorious, facing the pagan prophets of Baal, and the next he's running for his life from a woman, 1 Kings 18. However, instead of standing firm in the wake of Jezebel's empty threats, God's prophet became fearful and ran to a place in the Bible called the wilderness. Been there? There the prophet took refuge under a broom tree and prayed that he would die. My goodness! A man who was the mouthpiece of God to a nation of Israel had fallen into discouragement, I mean deep despair. But it is here that the very nature of God is revealed, and it's a good thing. Love and compassion overflow from God's heart, and instead of condemnation and death, God sends an angel to minister to Elijah's emotional and physical needs. You know, God knew, just like he knows you, he knew Elijah needed a refreshment. Wise, rational decisions are very hard to make, oh, they're impossible when you're stressed out. Once he became stronger, God led him to a secret place on Mount Sinai, and it was there that God reminded his servant of his calling. Do you need to be reminded of your calling as God's child? We're all members in the Lord's army. We get a call. Are there times in your life when you wish God would draw you into himself, pushing back the cares of the day so you can see life a little more clearly? That's what he did for Elijah, and he'll do it for you. Yes, he will. The writer of Hebrews tells us to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help. When? Well, in a time of need, I need it. Hebrews 4:16. What happened to Elijah happens to everyone. The pressure builds. We go through extreme trials. Then comes something of lesser difficulty, and suddenly the pressure would just explode. There, on the mountain of God, the Lord refocused the prophet's spiritual eyesight. As long as his focus remained on God, he could call fire down from heaven, right? But when he looked at his surroundings, remember Peter walking on the water? When he looked at his surroundings from a human perspective, calculated the enemy's ability, well, he became fearful and frustrated. And God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Does that characterize you today, my friend? There are situations in life that, if not dealt with properly, it'll leave you depressed, leave you tired and weary. And these are times when, from our perspective, things appear as if, well, it's never going to change. But hey, God's got a different perspective, because all things work together for good and for his glory. That's according to Romans 8:28. Think about that today, my friend. Pray about that one today. God is so good. And say it with me. When the going gets rough, hey, the tough get going. Don't you ever, ever quit. Don't do it. Starting point for all of this? Do you know Jesus is Savior today? You're going to heaven when you die? You're not sure? You can be sure today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's the way it works. You ask God to forgive you of your sins. Talk to him right now. Ask Jesus Christ into your life to rule and reign. Salvation is yours. Heaven is yours. Oh yeah, do it today, my friend. And finally, make sure your message is clear. Things are not always as they seem. A couple of farmers fishing on the road, they made a sign. The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late. They showed it to each passing car. One driver passed, didn't appreciate the sign, and shouted out, "You leave us alone, you religious nuts!" All of a sudden, they heard a big splash. Fred looked over at Luke, smiled, and said, "You know what? We should change that sign to Bridge Out." Yeah, good idea. A little clearer there. You've been listening to Hello World for a Thursday. I'm Greg Patton, your host, every day at this time, Monday through Friday, and in some places on Saturday and Sunday as well. Thank you for being here. Be my friend, will you? Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. I love it. And again, thank you to all of you in the Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina area. We had a great time for the fall fundraiser and visiting in churches in the area. God bless. How about being here tomorrow? Same time, same place. Have a great day.